Welcome to WP Coffee Talk with your podcast barista, Michelle Frechette. Special thanks to our amazing sponsors, Sentry Hosting, Expander Digital, GoWP, and WP Explorer. WP Coffee Talk is a proud supporter of Big Orange Heart, whose mission is to support and promote positive well-being and mental health within remote working communities. Please consider a donation to Big Orange Heart to continue to support this great mission. Welcome to WP Coffee Talk. I'm your podcast barista, Michelle Frechette, serving up the WordPress stories from around the globe. And today, my guest comes to me from Texas, I believe. And I'm here talking tonight to Chris Lema. Chris, how are you doing?
Doing great.
It's good to have you here. Now, Chris, you have two titles that you've submitted to me. One is that you're the vice president of products at Liquid Web. And the others, you got your own brand going too, like a lot of us do in WordPress, and you're a daily blogger at chrislema.com. And I have to say, we're going to talk about that a little bit later too, because daily blogging is a real skill and real commitment to actually keep up with that kind of stuff and to have all those ideas to share all the time. So welcome. It's great to have you here. Tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do.
Well, you just described it. I write on one blog site, chrislema.com. I write every day over there. And then in my day job, I help build and design products for a hosting company. And then outside all that, I speak on stages when we start going to places and speak at conferences again. And I coach folks in the WordPress ecosystem or SaaS companies, CEOs who are trying to grow either their digital agency or their product company.
I've been in some of those meetings where you've coached before and can attest to the good stuff that you have to share. So thanks for all that you share with our community.
My pleasure.
Show us your mug. Tell us about your mug and tell us what you're drinking.
So this is a huge mug.
I mean, yes, it is.
Bigger than my head, right? And it is my heavy glass stein that I love to use on a daily basis. I have several of them. They never have, they're beer steins really, but they never have beer in them. This one has Coke Zero and then a little spritz of this Mio grape, but you know, I use different flavors. I like the Coke Zero flavors, but they haven't been around during COVID. So
I own. Well, let me show you my mug. I have it's backwards.
Liquid Web Camp Mug. Yeah, I love those.
Yep, that's from the last WordCamp that we were all at in person, WordCamp US in person. And I didn't manage to get one there. And so you all actually mailed me one. So thank you so much for that. Yeah, that was awesome of you. And I'm drinking tea because it's already 8 o'clock in my time zone. And if I drank coffee now, I'd be up till tomorrow morning. So tell us, Chris, how did you get started with WordPress?
2005, I was already using, I had started using a product called .NET Nuke and was using that to help some of the entrepreneurs I was coaching. They needed sites. My coaching wasn't about websites. My coaching was about their business, but some of these startups needed a quick website. So you'd spin up a 5-page site just so that they had something online. And so in 2005, I was using, by that point, I was using this .NET Nuke, which is a .NET based CMS. And then I discovered TypePad. I had used earlier just for a blog, not as a website content solution. I'd use User Radio LAN. And then I had started playing with TypePad and somehow I discovered WordPress. And it was that summer that WordPress had introduced more than just posts, they'd introduced pages. Mm-hmm. And so I went, I can use this thing that's super clean and easy and I can hack at it, right? I can change. In those days, the menu item in WordPress for pages was one menu and the menu item for post categories was another one, right? And I could just go into the PHP and edit it so that I could have one menu bar that had both. And I moved everyone that was using these other solutions. I moved them over and I moved my blog over to WordPress and never looked back.
Mm-hmm. I inherited in my freelancing days, one .NET Nuke site and I thought it was going to be the death of me. It was the most difficult thing to use. And it was at that point I swore I would never use anything but WordPress going forward.
The crazy thing is what .NET Nuke understood, right? Because you have some open source platforms out there where you have one calendar extension, or you have one, like there wasn't room for a lot of them. And WordPress understood, no, you should have many, right? Many gives people choice and they can do what they want. But on the flip side, in those ecosystems and in the .NET Nuke world, the extensions cost money. I mean, they would cost like in 2005, I would have built something where a single extension might have cost $99. And on the WordPress side in 2005, it was all just a free arsenal of extensions, right? Plugins. And it seemed like, right, .NET Nuke understood something about the combination of both, right? A plethora of options rather than just one option, but also charging a premium price so that you might build a .NET Nuke site and literally just the extensions that went into building this feature set might cost you $600-$700. And customers didn't blink. They're just like, that's what it costs, right? Right. And it seemed like when we went to WordPress, we went a little bit backwards. Like the freedom of free was so awesome, but it came with this, well, everything else was free. Why should I pay even $15 for that, right? And I remember working with a developer, a plugin developer years ago, where he sold one version of the product for like $10, and then he had a premium version or whatever, right, for like $30 or $40, right? And he was terrified that the $40 was too much. And here comes a customer who's like, well, I want I want a new feature, and I think it only represents 10% of this $40 one, so I'll gladly pay you $10 if you code it for me. And you're like, this whole world is just like crazy. So yeah. There were definitely things that DNN got right early on in terms of value. But man, you're right. I mean, everything was hard to read. Everything was tiny. Everything was complicated. There was so many settings, and WordPress was on the other end of that, super clean and easy.
Yeah. And I will say inheriting a site also inherits whatever anybody did to it in advance. So maybe I would have had a different experience had I built it from scratch myself. Guaranteed I would have had a different experience had I built it myself, for sure. When you look at websites across the internet, and maybe specifically WordPress and our community, what's something that you think that we as designers, developers, web builders aren't paying enough attention to that would make the site better for the end user?
I think we often define the project incorrectly. I think there is often a lack of alignment between what we consider done and what a customer was hoping for as their objective to begin with. Now, I would admit that there's a lot of alignment when you're dealing with, like a blog. I want a nice looking website, and I want it to look pretty. And if you're designing it, you want it to look pretty. But in the world of donations, for example, or in the world of e-commerce, or in the world of lead generation, success is not defined the way a developer designer might define it, right? We define in our project scope, we define, okay, these six pages, these three plugins, this configuration, there, the site is live. And the moment a site is live, we call it done. The customer, on the other hand, was like, I was looking to drive an increase in donations by 30%. I was looking to drive growth of my e-commerce by 50%. I was looking to increase my lead volume by 30%. Right? They're looking for the results of your work. And we, as people who are more project-centric when we're building out a website, we look at the work as, oh, at face value, it's a checklist. And as long as I get done, I can call it done, send the final invoice and be finished. It's not so much that it's a specific feature. It's more that our perspective on the effort is off by just 10%, right? And what I discover is, when agencies, when developers, when builders move that 10% and they realize the goal here, success, how do we define success? Success is defined the way my customer defines it. they move to the top of the list, right? They move to the best designers and developers. They get hired by everyone. They get recommended by everyone because the website did deliver the leads or the donations or the e-commerce growth versus just saying, well, it was pretty. All those pretty sites, right? You go back 2 years later and they just get redesigned, and 2 years later they get redesigned again because the customer was looking for the efficacy of the effort, not just the fact that a project got done.
Right. Well, that makes perfect sense. And if you are talking in archery terms and you're standing back from your target, if you're off by 10%, depending on how far back you are, you're not only going to miss the bullseye, you're going to miss the entire target altogether. So 10% can make or break a project. Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Yeah. What's something, when you look back at your WordPress journey, what's something that you wish you'd known sooner that would have made life a lot easier if you had known it sooner?
What would have made it easier? I think there's probably a couple. So we're going to try and narrow this down, right? And make it specific. I think I spent several years using WordPress and not being part of the community. If I had started, so I started using WordPress in 2005. I didn't really join the community. I lurked in 2010 for a year. I went to 3 WordCamps. I sat in the back. I looked at a bunch of stuff. And I read a bunch of people's blogs and tried to get understanding what was the lay of the land. And I got involved in 2011. Now that's 10 years now, right? But things would have been even easier had I gotten involved in the community earlier, right? Been aware that there was not just a piece of code, but there was a whole group of people that were doing things. That might've made it a little easier.
Yeah. I think that that's true for a lot of us, that not realizing that it's not just a conference that you're attending. It's really about the community and the network that you build when you're there. Absolutely. When you think back on the WordCamps and meetups and other events that you've attended, tell us about a time or an event that was kind of like, I don't want to say like life-changing necessarily, but like, you know, like the angels sang or the lights turned on and it was just a pivotal moment for you.
I think my buddy, Josh Strebel, held a conference for the business side of WordPress called Pressnomics. And I went to I've been to almost all of them. There was one that I couldn't make, but I went to the first one. And that first one, right? Because the second one was harder to attend because it was the same year that we did. And it was like a month apart from the first WordCamp Europe. And so several players didn't make it to Pressnomics 2 because they had to choose between one or the other. But that Pressnomics 1, everybody and their brother flew in from every part of the globe to show up in Arizona and to hang out. And that was the lights flickering and the bells ringing, because you're like, we're all here, like in the same place, right? Every single person was there. And it was fantastic to connect with people. I had people walked up and said, hey, I just read your blog post and you were comparing my product against that guy's and that guy's, and I want to know how I do better. And I'm like, how do you even know me? Right? Like, and oh my God, you're you? Like, you're way younger than I thought you'd be. Like, everything was crazy. So Pressnomics 1 was one of the first times everybody was in the same vicinity, the same area. And that was glorious, because again, it really is about people and relationships, right? And so I really love that. Every Pressnomics after that has been great. All the big WordCamp US and WordCamp Europe, those are great because they just bring so many people together.
Yeah, absolutely. I haven't been able to travel outside of the US, well, except Canada. But someday, I was planning to try to make it to WordCamp Europe last year, and then of course COVID hit, but it's on my bucket list of things to do for sure. You wear, figuratively and literally, many hats. Sure. So what are some of the things that you really enjoy about either your day job or your blogging or your coaching? I mean, I know, you know, our paths have crossed in many ways at WordCamp. So our Friday happiness hours with GoWP. And you've coached me in my role at GiveWP before too. So I've seen a little bit of a lot of the different things that you do and read your blog. What is it that you enjoy the most? And what is it that you really hope to leave as, let's say, as a legacy in WordPress?
So my hope in all of those dynamics, right, is that you're trying to constantly, right? In every one of those, in every one of those realms, add some value and push in on something to give it either, you know, kind of forward momentum, or push it off a little sideways to go, hey, I think we're thinking about this the wrong way, and just move it over a little bit. And that can mean when I'm coaching a client, or it can mean when I'm coaching my staff at work, or it can mean as we're designing a product, or it can mean when, you know, when I'm writing a blog post about a set of products in a field, right? Mm-hmm. You're either trying to say, yay, this is good, point a flashlight on it, spotlight, and go, everybody else should pay attention to this. Or you're like, guys, I think we're just a little bit off. Like, let's just push in a little bit and move people over a little bit. And so if I write a blog post that says, hey, this is great. You know, I just wrote about conditional logic and forms, and I created the same form in 7 different plugins. And in the midst of it, I'm like, hey, by the way, this is not related to conditional logic, but your text is too small and there's not enough white space. Like many of you, you're like, I'm 50. Right? I'm not 22. So if a 22-year-old is writing this code and he's looking at it with fresh eyes and going, I can totally see that. That's great. But mind you, I'm like, you made this look more complicated simply because you didn't make it bigger and open it up a little and make it breathe. And so you just go, you're just a little bit off. Like, you have a lot of great features, but you're a little bit like, and so you want to push in a little bit. And some people read it and go, ah, forget you. But other people go, oh, that's really good advice. And they go and they make a tweet, right? Mm-hmm. And the same thing happens when you're, you know, you're like, when I started working on, with a whole team of us, we started working on plugin updates at Liquid Web. And we said, listen, there's this term managed with managed WordPress, and yet plugin updates aren't managed at all. So everyone's left to themselves. And what we ought to do is we ought to update plugins, but we don't want to just update all the plugins. So what we ought to do is take pictures of the plugins, pictures of your website, and then update one plugin at a time, and then take more pictures, then do a visual comparison. And at the time that we did it, nobody had done it. Mm-hmm. And I said to my executive team, if we do this right, if we push on this definition of managed, everyone will do it. Mm-hmm. I just want you to understand, we're not building something that will be sustainable for years. It may be sustainable for a year or two, but then what we want is we want the whole ecosystem to move towards that, right? And GoDaddy has a feature for that, and WP Engine has a feature for that, and someone else just announced in Europe a feature for that. And I went, this is brilliant. Like, this is what we want, is that plugins don't just randomly get updated, you know, and then you deal with the fallout if it breaks. No, what you want is a controlled mechanism for making sure that your site always stays, you know, solid. And and so in any of those realms, right? Whether I'm giving a talk, writing a post, creating a feature of a product, coaching a client, it's all about help them move forward. And sometimes push in a little just to get a little course correction to keep us moving in a place that's healthy and safe.
To avoid that 10% off, right?
Yep.
Absolutely. So looking at your blog and realizing that you are writing a blog post a day, that's a pretty, I can't think of the right word. I want to say adventurous almost, but that's a lot. How are you planning for it? Do you wake up in the middle of the night and write down 5 ideas? Like, how's that all working out?
So, I did this before for a 3-year period. I think it was like 12, 13, and 14, 2012, 2013, 2014. I wrote every day for 3 years. And there were a couple of days where I was sick and a couple of days where I was on a plane for way longer than I wanted to be. But for the most part, it was every day. And so you develop certain habits. I hadn't done it in 6 years because my day job became WordPress, right? Back then it wasn't. And there were days where it just felt hard to spend your whole day in WordPress and then sit down and write some more WordPress, right? You just go, no, I'm going to go smoke a cigar. But my days these days are enough removed from the day-to-day of touching a website every single day that I was like, you know what? I'd like to go back to it. And I love this community. I do cover multiple topics, which makes it a little easier. So I write about plugin businesses, and I write about service digital agencies that are doing WordPress stuff. And I write about communication tips, which is the storytelling and everything else, which also includes marketing stuff. And so one of the ways that I don't get bored, right, is that I'm not writing you know, 9 themes for photographers, 12 plugins for that. Like, I'm not writing listicles all day long, or I would die. Like, I just,
yeah.
But what ends up happening is on a 7-day cycle, 2 of those articles will take more than 1 sitting, which means at minimum, 2 of those articles will require setting up sites, loading in data, being able to take a bunch of screenshots, and then writing the comparison. So I may do 1 part of that on the weekend and 1 part during the week and finish it up. But at least 2 of those will require a little more effort. The others are, you know, I benefit from the fact that I've been in this game a long time and I've worked with a bunch of people and I've seen a lot of solutions and gotten asked a whole lot of questions. And so every time I get asked one of those questions, and I answer calls on Clarity as well. And so you get these questions and I just write them down and I go, oh yeah, I could definitely answer that longer. Like on Clarity, you're paid by the minute. So you're like, get in, get the answer, get out, right? You just don't want to waste their time, but you're like, well, there's more nuances. So I could write about that or I could write about that. So I keep a journal of a bunch of ideas. There are some days where you look at the idea list and you're like, nothing is interesting me about that. And then you go, okay, you know, let me go look. Like Facebook has, you know, WordPress and WooCommerce groups that I can read through and see if someone's asking a question. There's another website I can go see what questions are being asked. I can go on Twitter and just see what people are talking about and go, oh, that's a really interesting thing. And I love what they said, right? Justin Fairman wrote a post. In this case, I didn't write a reply article, but he wrote a blog post that I read and I went, that's great. I have a couple more ideas, but I didn't want to take away any thunder from what he had done. So I just wrote a tweet stream. But other times you read someone's tweet and you go the opposite way. You think, I have a lot to say about that, but I'm not going to write 400 tweets about it. I'm just going to go and make that the topic for the blog.
Yeah. Because it just seems very aggressive, I guess, for your own schedule. But having a list of ideas in advance, I'm sure, is something that definitely can benefit you. And finding different ways to find inspiration in different places to kind of
and sort that out. I don't suffer from a lack of opinions.
So I've heard that about you.
that's just kind of the way it is. And so I embrace that. And I just go, okay. If I think we're off by a little bit, or if I think we ought to do something different, or if I have a million frameworks, which is what helps me in the coaching. So for example, yesterday I wrote about an ROI calculator, but there's so much to understand. And I don't really want to write 2000, 3000, 4000 word posts. That's not my jam. I'm between like 800 and 1200. That's enough that you will read it in 3 to 5, maybe 6 minutes max. And that's enough for me to say, that was a tidbit I gave you today. Come back tomorrow for another little bit. So this ROI calculator, you realize just the ROI formula is more complicated than most people think. And so let me write about the first half, which is, let me give you some examples and show you why there's nuance to the formula. And then later this week, I'll write the other part, which is, now how do we take those formulas, stick it into a form and create your ROI calculator? And so, I have a framework and I want to explain the framework, but I also want to turn that into something really practical and be like, no, here's how you put it in the form builder to actually make it work, right? You don't want to just pontificate theoretically.
Right. I think that you could do really well on TikTok. Has anybody told you that yet? Because 60-second wisdom nuggets in the WordPress and marketing space on TikTok could be a lot of fun for you if you wanted to add one more thing.
Here's the problem. I have a 15-year-old daughter and a 13-year-old son, and both of them are like, no, dad, you cannot create a TikTok. I'm like, I can create a TikTok. I can even dance while I'm talking. And they're like, nope, stop, stay away, right? So I am very light on Instagram, only my cigar photos on Instagram, and I'm non-existent on TikTok because my kids have basically cordoned off that area. They're like, do whatever you want on Twitter, but don't come near our playground. And I'm like, okay, that's fair.
Well, if you want to check out somebody who's in WordPress, who's owning TikTok, look at Tracy Epps on TikTok. She's absolutely having a blast with it.
I love that.
It's great. She's really making a name for herself and having a lot of fun, which is really cool, especially because it pretty much started out in the pandemic, right? Like people our age, you know, let's say mid-30s to mid-50s, because I'm heading towards mid-50. We didn't know about things like TikTok before that. Like, I never got into Vine and all those other things. But then I was stuck on my couch home alone for months at a time. And, well, that looks more interesting than reruns on television. So it got to be fun for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. So let's move into our rapid fire questions. And I love these. I always say, I will ask them rapidly. Take the time that you need to answer them. What are 2 to 3 must-have plugins that you would recommend to somebody building their own website?
Yoast SEO, Code Snippets, Nitro Pack, which is for performance. That's a premium plugin.
Very good. I'm not one of those people that only looks for the free plugins, because I think you really do need to invest. Number one, you need to invest in the tools that you need. Number two, you need to give back to the ecosystem so that it continues to thrive. So yeah, that sounds good. At any point in your business and WordPress journey, have you had a mentor, somebody that was either an official mentor or in an unofficial capacity? And who was it?
Yes. I try to learn from anyone. I could list tons of people, but I will tell you that one of my favorite smart guys in the WordPress ecosystem is my friend Syed Balki, who is 20 years younger than me, right? Exactly 20. Dude is just brilliant. And I love sitting down and asking him questions. And he's fantastic, right? He'll help you think about things in a different way, in much the same way that I will help other people about other things, think about mm-hmm. it in a different way. And so I love that. But I am willing to learn. I try and be willing to learn from just about anybody. So
it would be hard to keep up with the pace that you do with blogging, et cetera, if you weren't always learning from other people. Because if you had to create it all without learning from the community at all, that would be a much more difficult battle. So it's good to hear that you're a lifelong learner also. Other than Saeed, who is somebody in the WordPress community that you admire and why?
Gosh, I admire so many people.
You can name a few. We got time.
Yeah. So what Tracy Levesque and Mika have done at Les Watch TV is amazing, right? They built a data SaaS platform on top of WordPress, using WordPress as a way to collect massive quantities of data for a cause, right? To be able to show, look at this representation and these dynamics, whatever. And I just think that is brilliant. And I got to watch it all, right? And just go like, oh, look what they're doing now. They also learned so much about what they were doing in WordPress, and then so much about what they're doing out in the media world, right? They got press passes, they went to conferences, they got put on stage. I think everything about that is just absolutely incredible. And Mika specifically was like, I'm going to do three different talks hitting different segments of the work that she did and what she learned. While Tracy was talking, you know, did one main talk several times over about diversity in what we're doing. And I thought both of those series of talks and those angles of looking at it were brilliant from a communication perspective as well. So everything about that was awesome. My buddy Sean Hesketh runs WP 101 and consistently, does not matter what changes in WordPress, he keeps those things refreshed. And I got to tell you, as someone who has more than 1,000 blog posts that are out of date, keeping every one of those refreshed all the time individually. Like, he doesn't have a team of people. It's him doing the work, keeping it current all the time. I just think that's incredible. That's amazing.
That is incredible.
My friend Jennifer Bourne, who just did Content Camp and has another whole program called Profitable Project Plan, coming alongside people and helping them with content. Right. I think this time I did 6 sessions as one of the trainers in this thing. Right. So 6 sessions is a lot of sessions.
Yeah.
Because I love what she's doing. I told her, sign me up for everything you can possibly sign me. Like, whatever topic you need, I'll do, because creating content is work. It is hard work. And I have, you know, frames and I have perspectives. And so I share them with that group. But it is, there's so much to it. And she shows up and she's like, let me collect all this stuff. She's not willing to put on an event where there's just people talking. Her event is a workshop. So you get a little bit of talking and then there are worksheets and people have to do the homework. The book is, you know, an inch and a half thick of all the worksheets. It's just, it's mind-boggling, right? And people come away going, this is incredible. They also come away going, I have a whole year's worth of content for my website, right? All of that is amazing. So I just think, you know, when I see someone that's doing something amazing, I then go spend time connecting with them. And over time, we develop friendship. And so some of my closest friends are also the people that I'm super amazed by and think that they're doing amazing stuff. My buddy Steve over at Zeek.com, you may not have ever heard of Steve, and very few people may have ever heard of Zeek.com, but they just used GraphQL and WooCommerce to create a headless WooCommerce store that was processing hundreds of thousands of dollars an hour in online revenue through this headless solution that then the GraphQL people said, come to our conference and speak on it, right? And you're like, yeah, you're outside of WordPress. Like what you're doing is so far beyond what everyone else is doing that you're showing up to other conferences and saying, oh, you thought WooCommerce couldn't scale? Let me show you how we did it, right? And it's mind-boggling. So there's a lot of people doing amazing things out there.
There absolutely are. And the people in our community never fail to astonish me with the new and amazing things that they think of and then actually bring to fruition. Pretty amazing community for sure. What's something that you'd like to learn in WordPress still, but that you haven't learned yet?
How long do we have?
Just pick one or two.
I would tell you that I am very intrigued by GraphQL and that way of accessing content and pulling it out and what you could build, you know, atop it so that you can still use WordPress on a day-to-day basis to create content and publish it, but you can create something completely different as a way to consume it. And I think all of that is still very interesting. I am not I'm not great at the JavaScript heavy code writing. That's not a world I live in. And so I think part of the reason I haven't learned the GraphQL stuff yet is because I know I'll get super excited and be like, and now I need to go find someone to do this other part because I can't do that other part, right? So it's a bridge, right? The GraphQL stuff is a bridge that gets at and pulls data out and can push data back in, but you need the consumer of that. And that's the part where I get stuck.
And when I hear that, and then I go back to like that, you're just going to design this for $10, right? Kind of story that you had before. It just makes me think of some of what we encounter in my day job at GiveWP, where somebody says, well, can't you just make it do XYZ? Right. And they think that it's just simple to just like their idea can just be made, boom, like that. And ideas are great, but they can be made, but not always, you know, in an afternoon.
Well, what I'm playing with is no code. There's a no code movement, and then there's a no code builder called Bubble, I think, bubble.io. And it's really interesting as a way to design and build some sort of app. And I think, oh, if I could do this enough, then I could potentially use GraphQL to go and introspect and pull the data out of WordPress. And so, I'm still going to figure out a way to do it. It's just going to take me longer.
Absolutely. No, I don't think anybody would ever doubt that you'd get something done that you set your mind to, Chris. What's the biggest mistake you've ever made in WordPress and what did you learn from it?
So I don't think I'm alone, right, in saying there have been times where I have grossly underpaid myself, grossly underquoted a project, for a lot of different reasons. But the biggest problem was that I would as a customer, as a prospect was talking, I would start building the solution in my head right away. Mm. Right. And that's what we do, right? We move to the solution space and we start design. Oh, I can use gravity forms for this, and I can do this with this, and and I can pull this with a custom post type over here, and I can use ACF for that. And we're not listening, right? We're not listening to what's going on for the customer. And because we're not listening, there have been times where I jump straight to the full solution, everything else, and then I put a price tag out that I think is the bare bones of that effort, not realizing that they were willing to pay way more, right? So I made this mistake, and I learned, the way I learned from it was I was talking with a guy, and at the end, the whole meeting's done and I've already figured it out, and I'm like, okay, I'm gonna charge this guy 10 grand and that's gonna be that, right? And then we're sitting in a bar cafe. We're sitting at this table and we've just been having drinks and relaxing and chatting. And right before I'm about to get up and leave, and I swear it's just this fluke, I go, and let me ask you, how have you tried to solve this already? I never asked the question before. I don't know why I asked it. I just asked it like, I just want some background, right? And thankfully I didn't get up, because for the next 30 minutes, he explained how, oh, well, they tried this, right? Spent 50 grand and they couldn't get it to work. And then they tried this and spent 60 grand. And it could, it didn't do whatever. And then they tried this and spent $75,000 and couldn't do it. And you're going, well, first of all, thank you. Like, now I know some of the paths that I may have gone on that I shouldn't go on, because you just told me those didn't work. But also, you've spent like $150,000 solving this problem. My 10,000 looks stupid, right? Like, I need to dig in deeper, pull out more, articulate more, and push the number way up higher. And at that point, I realized I need to spend a lot more time marinating in the problem space than I do jumping quickly to the solution space. And from that point on, I never underbid, right? I spent way more time listening, way more time asking, way more time understanding what was going on and where I fit in that solution space. And then once I was done with the problem space, I could go, okay, let's sit down and scope this out and quote a lot better.
That's a great advice, actually, for anybody who's listening, because I think we've all done that at some point, completely undervalued ourselves. And I think, I can only speak for myself as a woman, but I think that specifically women, and I think some minorities as well, tend to undervalue themselves because of the way that we've been treated in the workplace all along. And so I think that's a really good advice.
Yeah, I mean, as a minority, I'll tell you that you're constantly on your shoulder is a voice, right? That is pushing the, well, you know, you didn't go to MIT, you know, you don't have a graduate degree in computer science, you know, that you like every possible phrase that this guy is a old school business white guy, right? And he's just giving you a chance because he feels sorry for you, which may not be the reality at all, but it's the voice on your shoulder and you're fighting all of that. And at the same time, you're like, I think I can do this. I want a shot at this, right? So you can really get in your head too, right? I mean, I'm not suggesting that it's only in your head, because it does happen in the world as well, right? But you can get in your own head because of the experiences you've had out there. And then you're the one negotiating with yourself, right? 50,000 is too expensive. So I'll go to 40,000 is too expensive. I'll go to 30,000, right? I remember putting a quote in front of a church, right? A nonprofit. And I said, it's 50 grand. And they went away. And I thought, they're gone, right? Like, they're never coming back. And they came back like a week later. And they're like, okay, we had to go have a meeting. We had to get approval. We're all good. Let's do this, right? And I'm like,
holy cow.
Oh, right? But I wasn't trying to rip them off. I'm like, for what you need, this is what we have to do. And so this is the price. I'm not messing around. I'm sure you can go find someone else. I'm sure it can be cheaper. And then I'm sure that you'll have to iterate 2, 3, 4 more times and end up spending it anyway. So let's just go do it right. But the voice in my head had started like, they left because you thought too much of yourself. You know, who are you to think that you could do? And it's all that insecurity. You have to get comfortable going, I'm going to close the door and not listen to you right now.
One thing I've learned, of course, is that working at GiveWP especially, that no nonprofit, including churches, will ever just make a decision. It's always by committee. So you always have to wait for that decision anyway.
Right. That's right.
No matter what. For me, I think I grew up in a household where my father did not believe women, number one, had any authority, and number two, had a place in technology at all. And so, you know, I was always going to have to be a teacher or a nurse kind of thing growing up. And when I chose a different path, and, you know, went through my education, even though I was told even by my high school guidance counselor, I shouldn't go to college. I should just worry about becoming a wife and mother. You know, you had, like you said, that person on your shoulders always saying that into your head because you have internalized it because of what you've heard over the years. So,
yeah,
I like to break those molds. That's a good thing. What's your proudest WordPress moment?
I was in Bulgaria, and I think it was about 2014. I was in Bulgaria. I was with the group of folks from Crowd Favorite. I had joined the day before I flew to Bulgaria. Well, we first flew to Romania because we had an office there. And then we drove into Bulgaria for WordCamp Europe. And I was not a speaker. I was just attending. I was just there. I was excited to just see friends, right? Like I knew Yost and Marika were going to be there and others were going to be there. And so I was just going to connect with friends. Some speaker couldn't make it. And so they walked up to me the night before and said, the afternoon before. And they said, can you come speak tomorrow morning? And I said, sure. You know, when do you have a topic? And they're like, yes, we need to talk about professional WordPress. I go, okay. When do you need the slides? And he's like an hour from now? And I'm like, okay. And I went downstairs, I went to the cafe, I sat down, put together the deck, wrote the talk, handed back the slides, and got up the next morning and delivered the talk, right? And when you're giving a talk in Europe to a European audience, the examples and the stories also need to be European, right? You can't just be like, I'm just going to pontificate on US cultural dynamics, et cetera. And so I talked about the London School of Ballet as one of the examples. And this guy walks up after the talk and is like, you talked about the London School of Ballet. I said, yes, I did. And I'm nervous, right? Like, did I get it wrong? What did I do wrong? He goes, my wife has danced for the London School Ballet. Oh, now I'm and he goes, everything you said was right on. And I go, oh, whew, thank God, right? And I was like, that's probably the fastest I've had to write a talk that didn't suck, right? I mean, like when I was really young and I was writing talks, they all sucked, but you got to do your reps. But that was when I was like, hey, hold it off, did it. And I was really thankful.
Now, I thought you were going to say Cabo Press because I've heard so many people say so many good things that come out of Cabo Press. So, but I like your story. That's an even better story. Yes, you should be proud of all that you've done with Cabo Press and everything else, but to be able to step in like that and have that be such a great experience. I love that.
Well, Cabo Press is not something I do, right? Like it's important to understand I designed it. I shaped it. I've controlled it. I've controlled who comes and I have created the contours, but the massive value that people get from Cabo Press is because the other people at Cabo Press. So if I were to claim ownership of that, right, it would be a gross overstatement. Yes, there's value in, I spend 6 to 8 weeks selecting who goes, and I spend a lot of time deciding who's coming in to host and give a, you know, share a talk and do a discussion. I work a lot at it. So there's no question it takes a lot of work, but what really makes it work is the people that are there and how they connect with each other and how much they put into it, right? Because you have to ask a question. You have to be willing to say, we tried this, we sucked. What would you do different? And they go, oh, well, we tried it. And here's the twist we put on it. And here's how it worked. And you go, oh my God, that's life-changing. Well, that all happened at dinner without me, right? And so I love that it, I love it. It's my favorite event in the whole ecosystem. It's my favorite event on the planet. And I love doing it. And every year we get to the end of it. And I think, whew, I'm exhausted. Maybe we never do this again. And then I wait a few months and I'm like, ooh, I'm re-energized. And you start hearing the story. Yeah, I'm ready to do it again.
That's awesome. I've heard good things for sure. if you weren't working in technology at all, what's another career that you might like to attempt?
I wouldn't be good at it. I will start by saying this, right? But, or at least it would take a super long time to be good at it. But I feel like the pace and the tension, the stress, and the value that exists for storytelling in either stand-up comedy or in political lobbying, which are two wildly different jobs, both would have been alternative career paths. Like I could have just gone, oh, it's an adrenaline rush. It's super intense. You can move the needle, right? You're going to be telling stories. You're going to leverage influence. And whether, you know, but honest to God, right? I think you have to have a whole nother layer of thick skin. I have pretty good thick skin, but comedy and you know, in politics and lobbying, I think you just need a whole nother dermis that I don't have. And so I don't know that I ever could have done it, but either one of those would have been interesting career path.
I've heard that comedy is much more difficult than drama. And I believe it because it's got to land, right? It's got to land or you're just hanging out there to dry. Absolutely. What's something on your bucket list?
Disney has a adventuring arm that creates kind of a first class experience to places that I don't know that I could coordinate a top-notch experience. I don't know enough network, enough people to pull it off, but I would go with Disney and their adventure group to the pyramids in Egypt, right? That would be incredible. There's a world of information and knowledge I don't know or have, and I think it's a rich history, and I go, ooh, that would be cool, but I wouldn't do it on my own, right? So that would be cool. I like to stay in a nice hotel and sleep on a nice bed. I am not I want to jump out of a plane and have my blood flowing. Like I have no interest in risk-oriented behaviors. I'm more like, let's just stay at a nice resort and then go learn.
I'm with you. I'm with you on that for sure. Yeah. Now, if you brought 50 of your closest WordPress people with you, you could call it Disney Press.
I know.
Get everybody else to pay for it.
No, years ago, it was like maybe 2013 or something. I gave at Christmas time like 8 or 10 people gift cards for a Carnival cruise line. And it was just enough that they could get they could pay for half of the indoor unit. And so if they went with their other friend, the two of them together could get an indoor unit. Now, if they wanted to get a balcony room, they had to pay on their own. But I gifted them each this gift card and then told them which cruise I was going on, right? And so we ended up with like, I don't know, 16 people because some of them brought, you know, a mate on a Carnival cruise. And we did cruise press, right? We were like, this is us, right? We took two tables at the formal dining room and we all sat and celebrated. Jason Tucker's daughter went with us. And so we celebrated, I think, her birthday there. We had a blast. And of course, two of my friends were like, never again, I get seasick and I didn't know it, right? And you're like, oh, that's probably something you should know about yourself is whether or not you get seasick.
That's funny. Show us or tell us about a hidden talent that you have that the WordPress community might not be aware of.
Oh, gosh.
It's harder for the open books. Like, I know you're pretty much an open book, but like, do you play the harmonica or?
I sing.
Okay, I didn't know that.
Uh-huh. But that's not nearly as interesting. You know I wear hats. You know I smoke cigars. You know I like to travel. So all of those things are pretty boring. I bet you didn't know that I can touch my nose with my tongue.
I did not know that. And yes, you can.
Yeah, see? So that's something that you didn't know.
You are the second guest on the podcast that showed me that they could do that.
You have a very strange podcast.
Or strange guests, one or the other.
That's right.
Is there anything else you'd like to share with us, Chris? Any question I didn't answer that you'd love to answer or ask that you'd love to answer or anything else that you'd like to, words of wisdom to drop on us today?
I think we're all just getting started. I think most of the time, right, the question I'm asking is, what does WordPress have to do to navigate 10 more years? Mm-hmm. I don't know that we ask it enough. I think we're all pretty focused on the short term. What do I have to do this quarter? What do I have to do this year? And when we look at 10 years out, I think we're still playing pretty low in the abstraction level, right? Like, I think customers, there was a time 10 years ago where customers were like, which CMS should I use? Today, I don't think that's the words on their lips, right? I don't think people are asking about a CMS. I think fundamentally they either think WordPress or they go look at other platforms. And when they look at those platforms, they're not looking at the platform because of its CMS features. They're looking holistically at their website. Do they want to have a podcast? Do they want to take donations? Do they want to sell a download? All these things are part of what they define as a website. So we move up the abstraction layer to a total solution. And I think we're still all talking about, well, I have this plugin. For 10 years, I told people they should build SaaS products. And we're seeing a couple, but not, you know, we haven't moved that ball dramatically. I think now I'd say for the next 10 years, I probably will just keep repeating, you need to go further up the layers of abstraction to where the customer's sitting. The customer wants the solution. And so when we started building at Liquid Web, we started building Managed WooCommerce. We were asking, okay, does the customer really want to do abandoned cart as a separate thing that they go get after they get the website, or do they want it as part of their website? Do they really want, and you start checking these boxes and realizing, no, we need to assemble all these things. We need to bundle all these things. And so we've spent a lot of time thinking about bundles. And that's one manifestation of the dynamic. But fundamentally, I think we have to keep pushing ourselves to ask, what does it look like when a customer is on the other side and doesn't know about plugins and doesn't know about themes and doesn't know about Gutenberg and simply says, I want a site. And we go, what do you want the site to do? And then how do we deliver that? Still powered by WordPress, because we think WordPress is the way to deliver that. I think when we start looking at it through that lens, we're still at the beginning. We're still way at the start of this thing.
And that's actually encouraging to be at the beginning and not towards the end. So I think that's actually really good words. How do we find you online? I know it's easy because I think it's just all your name, but your Twitter, your whatever.
My blog is at chrislema.com. The same at Chris Lema is on Twitter. I think on Facebook and YouTube, it's Mr. Chris Lema, as it is on LinkedIn. And on Instagram, I think it's also Mr. Chris Lema. So there's a bunch of the old ones that were Mr. Chris Lema, and then the blog and Twitter are just Chris Lema.
Awesome. Chris, thank you so much for being here today. I've loved everything. This was a great conversation, getting to know you better for sure. Don't go anywhere yet. We're going to say goodbye here. And then I have a few parting words for you off the podcast. So thanks everybody for listening. If you want to learn more, go to wpcoffeetalk.com. Find Chris's episode. All the show notes will be there for you. And we'll see you on the next episode of WP Coffee Talk.